Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Today I want to talk a little bit about being led by the Spirit of God. And I wrote this down. I want to say it right for you. Success in life is less about striving for more, but listening to what God is saying and how He's leading you from the inside out. Now, first of all, how many of y'all have a relationship with Jesus? You know who He is, okay? So when we say that Jesus lives in your heart, theologically, that's not true. There's nothing wrong with saying that. But actually, Jesus, right now, as we sit here this Sunday morning, is on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, praying for us. When He went away, He left the Holy Spirit to live and abide on the inside of you. So we believe Jesus and that, of course, but we know the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, He's leading us and guiding us. And He's actually the one that told you, slow down, I smell bacon, there's a cop over the hill. Maybe not that way, but it's a check in your spirit. He goes back and says, hey, tell him you were sorry. Tell him he was wrong. You haven't prayed today. Anybody ever heard things like this, okay? This is the Holy Spirit. Now, the devil, how many of y'all believe in the devil? Raise your hand. Believe in it. Somebody told me the other day, I don't believe in the devil. I'm like, the devil told you that, okay? So the devil is real, and the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come, and I've sent the Holy Spirit that you can have life and life more abundantly. It's one thing to have life. It's another thing to have life more abundantly. So today, I want to teach you some techniques that'll help you. Not that I know it at all, but I know a few things that'll help you. In Romans 8:14, they'll put it on the screen everywhere. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Led by the Spirit of God. Now, we can be led from our flesh, and I do that sometimes. If I get hungry late at night, I try not to eat, you know, after 6 o'clock, but then sometimes at 10 o'clock, I can't make it anymore, and I lose my mind. Anybody ever seen a commercial on television, and you didn't plan on ordering Domino's? You don't even like Domino's, but you're like, bring Domino's, and I want some of those sin. Isn't that sin of sticks? Doesn't that sound incredible? They're even warning us, you're sinning, but I'm like, screw it, let's do it, right? Bring it on. Because our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. So that's why St. Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he said, the thing that I want to do, I don't do. And the thing that I don't want to do, I end up doing. I didn't want to slap you, but I did. Didn't want to overeat, but I did. Didn't want to cuss, but I did. We got a cusser here. Come on, ladies. All right. I don't know what the beep, you're talking about, but amen. So our spirit speaks to us. Now, here's what God does. When God speaks to you, He doesn't come with a big, big voice like, hey, this is God. God speaks through a still, small voice in your spirit, or what we call in your heart. That's why the Bible said, follow your heart or your spirit. Lean not to your own understanding, because you can't analyze the fire out of stuff and make the wrong decision. So you listen to your spirit. Most of the time, the gut instinct, people call it a gut, a hunch, something told me. I think the Holy Spirit is saying, I have a name. My name is the Holy Spirit. His probably favorite song on his playlist is, say my name, say my name. So the Holy Spirit has a name. And so it's nothing wrong with saying a hunch, something told me, but I think it gives God glory when you go, the Lord was leading me. It seems like my spirit. I say this all the time to my team. I say either the Lord told me this or my spirit feels this or my mind feels this, and they're all three good. Because I'm telling myself that I make good decisions, right decisions. Not all my decisions are right. But I'm praying on the inside, and God is speaking to me on the inside through a still, small voice. This will help you, okay? My dad taught me these techniques. Just real quick, when you're moved by your flesh or your feelings or your lust of the eye, you'll make a wrong decision. So if you're older, you're going to know this. If you're younger, you'll have to Google this. Back in the day, like 79, 1980, there was a thing called the Ford Pinto. Raise your hand if you're old, okay? And then the counterpart, the classy version of that, was the Mercury Bobcat, okay? And so my dad had on the refrigerator, he was a believing God for a car. Now, we didn't have a lot of money, but he was praying, asking God to help him, and he was an evangelist. And so his friend Vern had a license to go to the car auction, so they went to the car auction. I went. I was about 10. We went to the car auction. There was there was this Ford Pinto and another Ford Pinto, and the one was red with chrome wheels. It was cool. I mean, it's just kind of like the tires in the back were a little fatter than the tires in the front. It looked like a race car. It was sharp, okay? So that one looked good. The green one, that actually had some dents on it, needed some body work. It was ugly. Guess which one we wanted? Come on, somebody. The red one, right? And so my dad is looking, and he really, because he's super poor, he can't afford to make a decision in the flesh. And so my dad's teaching me. I'm 10, and the people are walking around. All these car dealers just getting ready to go to the auction. They're checking it out. They're starting them up. They're looking down and kicking the tires. And my dad said, look, son, these people are scratching where they're thinking. One guy was looking at it, and he was doing this. Another guy had his Kelley Black Book out, and he was looking at the value of it, and he was doing this. Another guy was doing this. I don't know where he was thinking, but no, I'm lying to you. Well, my dad said, what we should be doing is this. Holy Spirit, which one's the right one? God, help us make the right decision. I need to know. I can't afford to make a bad decision. I need to make the right. And he said, I just heard it in here. It's not the one that we want. It's not the red one. I'm like, dang it. It's the one over here that looks like a booger. It's just horrible. But he bought that one. His friend, Vern, bought the other one. Auction, you know, he'll go, $1,400, $1,800, they're going through the, sold. And so my dad buys the ugly one. His friend buys the red one. And we're leaving, and we're leaving the car auction, and we get about 30 miles down the road, and the pretty one threw a rod through the engine and was on the side of the road. My dad's little booger was like, I'll never forget it. It impressed upon me the importance of not looking at the pretty one. This works in marriage as well. Come on, somebody, I'm just telling you right now. The lady grabbed her husband like, see, you did the right thing. But your flesh, it's not always that God's wanting you to have the ugly one or nothing. He's just wanting you to be led by your spirit. Genesis 1:26 says this, we're made in the image of God, the spiritual image, not the physical image. We're made in the image of God, his spiritual image. So if we're made in the image of God, then we need to be led by the Spirit of God. We read that a moment ago. Those that are sons and daughters of the Most High God will be led by the Spirit of God. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You know, if you got an iPhone, you can walk down the street and say, hey, you know, it's dark. Hey, turn on my flashlight. Flashlight just comes on. It's motion activated. Close. I don't know if you have that on Android. Raise your hand if you have that on Android. I know nothing about it. One guy is brave enough to go, yeah, girl. We have two heathens here in the crowd today. Give it up for the sinners who are with the Android. No, I don't know. There might be great. But when you say it, that's what the Bible's saying. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So the flashlight app will come on and go, don't buy it. Buy it. Don't marry it. Marry it. Look at a different street. Because I say this to you often. If it's God today, anybody know? It's God tomorrow. In other words, if you better buy it today because the guy came yesterday and he's coming back today, let him have it. Well, if you don't marry me now, go buy. Bye, Felicia. Because those that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. So you got to wait. Be patient while you're waiting. You guys are so much fun, by the way. I always thought I liked the 11:30. I like the later crowd usually because they're like, they got up, they had breakfast, and they've had lunch. They had 3 Red Bulls and a coffee, and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you give it up for yourself. You guys got a lot of energy for the first crowd. The candle of the Lord. Kenneth Hagin said, the number one way that God leads his children is through an inner witness. Seems like. Inner witness. Feel it in here. The spirit knows what your head doesn't know. I live my whole life. All the churches that we built, you in Florida, all the campuses, it's always like a, seems like. Earth City, the largest African-American church, I'm told, in St. Louis. I'll go preach there next, come here and preach, go preach there, come here and preach again. And that came, I was on the parking lot of that campus wondering if I should buy it or not, and I didn't know because there's no houses around there, and all the experts said, don't buy that, there's no houses, it's an industrial car. And then the Lord led me to open up my Bible. And I opened it up to Psalms 37. It said, the earth is the Lord's. And the Holy Spirit said, put city in there. And it said, the wicked will borrow and not be able to pay again. Well, that's what Snooks and a bunch of other business people here, they got together and built that thing out at $21 million, and they went bankrupt. It said that the wicked borrow, that's those guys, and they pay not again, said the earth is the Lord. Every time I say the earth is the Lord, I have the Bible in my office upstairs, and I put city. It's the original Bible where God spoke to me And now thousands of people go to church there. I'm here to tell you, this works if you're a pharmacist. This works if you're a doctor. This works if you work at Costco. This works if you're a bus driver. If you're a bus driver, you need a spirit of God to tell you that car's getting ready to stop. As crazy as this sounds, I know I'm going to lose some of you right now, but I'll tell my kids there'll be 7 elevators, and I'll go, it's going to be that one right there. Don't try to pass that guy. He's getting ready to turn left in a minute. And they'll be, how did you know that? I just know it. I walk through the mall and I'll know stuff about people. Seems like I'm sensing something right now about you right now, biscuit boy. He owns the biscuit joint. Give it up for the biscuit joint if you don't go there. Don't go to Cracker Barrel. Go to the biscuit joint. Okay? He also, by the way, when all the tornado victims were out and we were spending tens of thousands of dollars buying houses, doing all the stuff, still doing a lot. We got people in hotels everywhere still. The biscuit joint showed up with hot meals and biscuits. Incredible. Come on, right? That's a pretty good deal. So the Spirit of God doesn't move through your head in here. Now, I want to make sure you understand this. I'm not trying to tell you that you're going to know this right away. You will develop in it. And the enemy's going to tell you it happens to him because he's the preacher. I know a lot of preachers this doesn't work for. Okay? It has nothing to do with me. Received Jesus, you did not get a knockoff Holy Ghost. You did not get a knockoff remanufactured Holy Spirit. God has a purpose on your life. He has a big call on your life. You need to be led and directed and guided by the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to you right now, and you need to receive that. Stop letting the devil bump you in the head. Now, I want you to write this down if you're a note taker. The Spirit leads through promptings, not pressure. Promptings, not pressure. You can't reason the way that God should do it. You can't try to figure it out. Most of the time, it doesn't make sense even on paper. It hits your heart. Remember this scripture, God will give you the desires of your heart? When I was praying for this particular building, it needed... So if you'd have told me the day that we were going to get it, that we got it, that I'd have to spend $17 million to fix it up, I would have said, there's no way in purgatory I'm doing that. But God tricked me into doing it. I'm out in the parking lot, God, give me the building. Help me, give me the building. We're going to change people's lives. Give me the building. And God stopped me and said, hey, just shut up, man. Who would want this building? Nobody wants football fields and parking lot. No one wants 2 football fields of air conditioning and roofs to do. I must have put that desire in your heart. Just thank me for leading you. Thank me for providing it for you. And then all of a sudden, I thought, wait a minute. This isn't my idea. God, you tricked me. So a lot of the things that God has called you to do, it wasn't your idea anyway. You have a desire, and it's a supernatural desire to feed people, to help people, to change the world. Does that make sense? Raise your hand. Okay. So let's get that put to bed. So the Spirit of God knows what your head doesn't know. By the way, Romans 7:15, I quoted it a minute ago, but I want to make sure you got it, know where it's at. Said, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. I do what I hate to do. Now, here's what I want you to know about the scripture. The enemy's always pointing out what you're not. Can't always do that. Dang it. I shut that down. I might bomb at a service, but if I got 4 more to do, I do not want to bomb at the other 3. So I'm going to lie to myself if necessary and go, you're a fine communicator. You killed it. It was the audience. They just jacked with you. You know it works. I do whatever I have to do in here because I don't want my brain thinking, you always and you never, because then the next time I go on stage, I'm like, you know, I suck at this. This is horrible. No, nobody wants somebody that sucks at it. People want somebody that feels like they're enjoying it, and I am, by the way. I'm good at it, and I am, by the way. I'm not bragging. It's the Holy Spirit in me speaking to your spirit, and I can feel you pulling it out. So I'm saying, shut off. I hate what I want to do. I don't do. Dang it. This is what I don't do. Quit cursing what God blessed. You're made in the image of God. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too white. I'm too tall. I'm too... Even pastor in a large African-American church, I know more about black people than any white people in this building, I promise you. And black people have a different language than white people. Tons of different thought processes. If you call an African-American girl, you look skinny. They get offended. They go, I don't want to be skinny. I'm thick. White people get nervous. You call a white girl thick, you're going to the hospital. Okay, see what I'm saying right now? There's just a difference. But when I'm trying to teach you things that you don't know, okay? Not that you needed to know that. But I want you to understand that the enemy's trying to beat you down. It's too late. Screwed up too many times. By the way, guys, I hear that all the time. I'm the least likely to get to do this job. I'm honored to do it. I can't believe I get to do it. I'm thrilled to do it. I get so excited. I can't wait. When Sunday's over, I'm always so sad. And I love our church so much. When I go to heaven, I'm going to ask God if he'll let me come back on the weekends. Because this is what I get to do. And I want you passionate about what you get to do. Stop damning what God blessed. You are blessed. You're favored. You're called. You're chosen. God's going to do something good in your life. Yeah, man. Romans 8:16, it said, his spirit bears witness, or seems like it hooks up with our spirit. Jesus prayed, by the way, the night before he was going to make these decisions on staffing. He's going to pick up the 12 disciples. Look what he did in 6:12, Luke 6:12. One of those days when Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray, so there's a key, he went to pray. He spent the night praying to God, not on TikTok. When morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose the 12 of them to be apostles. You need the Father's direction before you make big, massive decisions in your life. I'm going to move here. I'm going to marry them. I'm going to. Don't tell God what you're going to. Find out. Don't tell God, here's my will. Tell God, not my will. That's what Jesus modeled for us. Not my will, but thy will be done. Then you'll be in the will of God, and you're not in the way of God, and then things just work out way better. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure this out, but I really think he knows what he's doing. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure that God is smarter than us. I think he's smarter than ChatGPT. Huh? I just think he knows the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And here's the deal. He's your dad. Oh, yeah. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Are you learning anything today? It says, whether you turn to the right or whether you turn to the left, there's a voice behind you or a voice inside you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So we got a road that leads to the right way and a road that leads to the wrong way. The Holy Spirit is always speaking to you. Most of the time, we know what to do. We just don't do it. Anybody ever knew? I knew I was supposed to buy Bitcoin. Knew I was supposed to do that. Knew I wasn't supposed to marry him. Knew I wasn't supposed to go there. I knew it. So the key is start checking and go, man, I'm going to start trying this. I don't feel like I'm supposed to. It's not based on feelings, but in here, inner witness. You know what I'm saying? I don't always feel like preaching. I don't always feel like going to work. I don't always feel like I'm married. And Nicole's like, I got a videotape to show you that you are married. She keeps that joker handy at all times. She had to transfer it over to CD and documented on his computer the proof that she and I stood on a stage when Austin was 8 years old. And I said, I do. And ever since, I've been doing the laundry and doing the dishes and doing whatever she tells me to do. Come on, give it up for Pastor Nicole. She's in Cincinnati preaching today at one of our sister churches. Inner witness. Now, I'll tell you the story about this bike. I haven't seen this bike for 16 years, okay? My dad bought this motorcycle for me, and he bought him kind of a matching motorcycle, a different color, but in 2003. And I was his pilot, and we flew up to Appleton, Wisconsin. He bought the bikes, and then we left the plane there, and somebody else flew the plane back, and we drove those bikes. A lot of memories on those bikes, okay? Then when the Earth City campus came up for and so on, the church needed more money, and I felt like we were supposed to sell it. I felt like, seemed like, in here, I want to sell it. Now, my flesh said, oh, no, don't let that go. So I put it on Craigslist. And when I put it on Craigslist, the first guy that came and looked at it, he jumped on the motorcycle, drove around the driveway. To this day, I still think, what was I thinking? Even letting some dude drive a motorcycle? I don't even know if he can drive. That was stupid. Take that note down, okay? So he pulls back in with the bike, and he says, man, I want it. And I said, I don't want to sell it. It's not for sale. He said, man, what? It's for sale. Are you crazy? Nope, don't want to sell it. He got mad, left, peeled out in my driveway. 2 weeks later, I felt like I should put it back on the market. So I did. And I felt crazy too. I'm like, could have sold it 2 weeks ago. What was I thinking? I'm reasoning. Something's wrong with you. Now, there's a knock at the door. Now I know the guy's name is Steve Barnhart, but then I didn't know, never seen him before. There's a knock. As soon as I open up the door with Sunset Hills, he says, oh my God, I've been watching you on TV, man. This is crazy. And he starts talking about the divorce and the betrayal and the hurt and everything he's going to. And I invited him in. He's never looked at the bike yet. I sit him down at the table. I minister to him. I lead him to Jesus. He gets saved. And then he's getting ready to leave. And I said, do you want to look at the bike? And he said, oh, yeah. And he goes and he buys this motorcycle, okay? Then he starts coming to church at our city. And then a year or two into it, being faithful, he meets his wife, okay? Then they start businesses. Now they live in a big mansion of a house behind gates, and it's really cool. And he goes to our church somewhere, but I don't know. And then about a month ago, I just in here thought, man, I was thinking about my dad, thinking about that bike. And I thought, you know, that's not actually on my phone. I've got pictures. Anybody remember pictures that weren't on iCloud and they're in your basement somewhere and they're kind of yellow? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. I said, I'm going to go find the picture. So I found the pictures of my dad and I on these bikes, and I brought it upstairs and I took my phone and I tried to do it, and then I left it on the counter for 3 days. And Nicole said, why is this out? I said, I was missing my dad. Put it on the documentation. So she said, no, put it back. So I put it downstairs. Now, a few days later, I'm praying. Praying in the morning, worshiping God. I'm not thinking about any of this. And then all of a sudden, it came up in me. Look on Craigslist. I look on Craigslist. First thing I see on Craigslist is this bike. And I knew it had to be that bike because that's the bag that my dad bought me that was on that bike 2003. I knew it was it. I didn't know if it was that guy or not, but I sent an email. And I said, hey, if this bike's still for sale, contact me, and what will you take? So then about 3 hours later, I get a text from Julie Thompson, who's kind of in my connect group. She serves. I know who she is. She got my number. She texted me and said, odd question, PD. Hope you don't mind me texting you. Did you contact somebody today about a motorcycle? I said, yes, ma'am, I did. She said, that guy is Steve Barnhart. He's the original guy that bought the motorcycle. He said, it is for sale, but for you, it's free. Come get it. I said, give that dude my phone number. Come on, someone. I charged him $9,000 for this motorcycle. Now, I'm talking about being led by the Spirit of God. I went out there to his house and took some videos. I'll actually show you a little bit so you know what Steve looks like. I got it from my phone.
17 years in one day.
God, yeah. You just can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't.
No way. Yeah. It's God. No.
And then he said he kept hearing PD's head. He said when he does business, he said, I hear PD in my head.
All the time, man. I'm telling you. You know, the world, it'll... Yeah. It'll program you to think wrong.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
you start thinking yeah. the God way, it changes.
Yeah. yeah.
It just changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell that.
Okay, so we're down in the basement working, and I said, you know, this guy's wanting to come over and buy this bike, but it's not really his, you know? Like, I wanted you to have, like, in my spirit, yeah. I always know you should have it. Yeah. So I tell her, I said, you know, I'd rather give this to PD than sell it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And then I come upstairs and check my phone, and your email's on my phone.
And then she's like, he did not email.
Yeah, he said, I said, what's the name on the account? He goes, David Crank. I go, let me see that. And I looked at it, and I go, well, how many David Cranks do you think there are in St. Louis? And I go, and the whole, it's like, come on, you know it's David Crank.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, give it up for Steve and his beautiful wife. He met her at church, by the way. They own one of the biggest chiropractic things in the whole state, by the way. I'm here to tell you that it pays to obey the Holy Spirit. I went to their house, and I drove the motorcycle back here to work, and I haven't driven it again. I don't have time to drive it, but in my mind, I know it's there. That's my dad's bag. That's my bike. Here's the point. If I'd have sold it to the other guy, you think that he would have gave it back to me? If I sold it to the other guy, Steve wouldn't have got saved. See, you got to listen to the inner Holy Spirit that's leading you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and why. I feel somebody getting this right now, man. Yeah! Okay, Acts 27, last scripture, because I got 4 minutes and 46 seconds before I got to go somewhere else and preach, and then I got to talk really fast. So Acts 27, verse 9, it says, much time he'd been lost. Sailing already. Tom gets lost. Becoming dangerous by now after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and the cargo and to our own lives. But the centurion, instead of listening to the man of God, Paul, he followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. After they had gone for a long time without food, Paul stood up to the men and said, hey, you should have taken my advice. Verse 22, but now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Altogether, there were 276 people aboard. In other words, this was not a canoe, guys. This was a really big boat. Paul had an inner witness that they shouldn't go, but they thought, well, he's an expert. You got to be careful what the experts say. You've got to be careful what the little spurts say. Okay? You got to listen to your spirit. No, I just don't feel like I'm supposed to do it. I feel like I'm supposed to do it because the people and pressure can try to talk you into something, and we've all had it happen, and we know, no, that guy was mad at me. Can't believe you're a liar. You said it was for sale, and it's not. I had to say, okay, I'm not a liar. Back to my let them teaching. 17 years ago, I had to let that guy be mad. I've got to do what I got to do the way I've got to do it and follow the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and then the end will always tell. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. So as I wrap this up, you do not have a knockoff Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, will even talk to you when you're bad. My daughter's bad, and I talk to her. My grandkids, God knows they're bad, and I talk to them. God doesn't heal you because you're good. He doesn't bless you because he blesses you because he's a good, good father. And he wants you to have a good life. And he wants you to marry in the will of God. And he wants you to enjoy your life, okay? Listen to your spirit. Last story I'll tell you. By the way, are these stories interesting to you? Does it help you realize how you can put it into your practice? And I've got a bunch of stories where I failed. I bought like 3 different motorcycles that I wanted that were junk, broke down on the side of the road. I'm not going to tell you about all that stuff. I've made a lot of bad decisions, but I don't believe in luck because it comes from the word Lucifer. I don't believe, but I believe in I'm blessed. And even though sometimes I've made dumb decisions, God's always retrieved me and then brought me out. And he's going to do the same thing for you. He's not a respecter of persons. You're being faithful. You're at church. It's summertime. People don't go to church in the summertime. They go to the lake. What is wrong with you people? But you're hungry. You're wanting more of God. You're raising your kids in church. I see you bringing the little dudes and dudettes into church and little car seats. This will change their life. Okay. On this stage right here, last story, because that reminds me of this voyage. It's not just about motorcycles or house or whatever. There was a dude that used to be on my worship team, when I was a worship leader for my dad, his name was Denny Massey. Denny, him and Becky ended up having kids, and they had 2 kids, one little Paul, and I held Keith and Paul when they were little. Okay, Keith goes on to be a prodigy of one of the greatest guitar players that in history. Okay? It was phenomenal. There was nothing he couldn't play. It was like a John Mayer. People followed him. It was nuts, okay? And he was our musical director. Like, that guy's the musical director, and I have a lot of musical directors. They hit the click tracks. They tell the people why they're singing. I am a friend of God. Click, click, click. Swell, swell, swell. Go. These people that are singing, they're hearing a bunch of stuff. People are yelling in their ear while you're hearing it. It's a whole thing. So they're doing this while they're talking, and they're listening. And Keith was a freak of nature. Keith, though, sometimes had a combative, argumentative, little bit of tendency towards strife, and some of us have that. So, but he was great, loved him. Bodybuilder, ripped, swole, everything he did, he was disciplined. When he goes on to meet a girl, marries her, Myra, she's still on our staff. One day, I'm on this stage, staff meeting, and I'm teaching on the staff meeting, and I said, man, I can't get over it, guys, I'm sorry, but I keep hearing in here, drowning, drowning. And so, she'll tell you, Katrina, everybody said, everybody come up on stage. We're going to pray. And I thought in my head, man, we got to be really be careful because our kids' camp is getting ready to happen at this lake or whatever. And I thought somebody's going to drown at that lake thing. I bound that up and I prayed. Well, then about 7 days later, I'm flying to Australia to preach at a big conference. As soon as I land, my phone rings, said, pray, my God, you guys pray. It's one of the people, Keith and a bunch of our staff, they went to Tennessee for the weekend, and he jumped off, and a bunch of people were jumping off in this water, and it sucked him down, and we can't find him, we can't find him. And then 2 hours later, they drug his dead 250 muscle-bound body out of the water, and these staff, Marcos and a lot of people, had to carry him. Myra, who's still on staff, she's a daughter of this house, they had to carry his lifeless body dead out of the woods in Tennessee. And they said, oh my God, Petey, last week you said you sensed drowning. God didn't tell us that so we'd have an advance notice. God tells us that and warns us so we can close every door and go, you know what? The Bible said the servant of the Lord must strive. I need to close this door, this door, and this door. And then if I sense drowning, in my opinion, what I hear is if I sense drowning, ain't nobody swimming for a little bit. Does that make sense? Just common sense. It's not that common, by the way. But common sense is a good thing to have. And I hate it. He's in heaven today, but I miss him all the time. I think about him all the time. He's a part of our family. But I'm begging you, you may get what you want, but you might not want what you get. And so now we're going to get our way. We're going to fight with the neighborhood. We're going to make them pay. No, the best thing to do is, the Bible said, turn the other cheek. I realize we only have four of those, okay? I get it. But at the same time, we've got to forgive. People say, forgive and forget. That's impossible unless you got hit in the head with a baseball bat and you have amnesia. You have to forgive while you still remember. And that's why you go to church and you hear the word and you come early and you worship. And that's why you go to Growth Track. And that's why you say, hey, I'm filling out the Connect card. Why? Because we need to connect with you. Because if you just come to church and you're like, I'm in the Secret Service, nobody knows me, I slide in and I slide out. You need to be known and needed so your spiritual health can be looked at. So you can be held accountable. It's a proven fact that you work out better when you work out in the gym. You work out at home and you're on a treadmill, 5 minutes seems like forever. Amen. Or you're like, I can spend an hour on a treadmill as long as I'm laying down eating, watching YouTube videos. But when you're around other people, something happens. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you at every campus. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would move in and out every aisle and up and down every row. Touch people's lives. Help them. Deliver them. And set them free. I speak that the Holy Spirit is prompting them and leading them and guiding them. In Jesus' name, and everybody shout, I receive it. Amen. Was that okay for today? Did you learn anything? We had a lot of fun, didn't we?